Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
How are you, Pastor?
Yeah. Excellent. On this Sunday, the third Sunday of the Lenten season, we've been journeying for the course of Lent over the Gospel of Mark. Right, as we journey with Mark in his portrayal, his narrative on the life of Jesus toward the cross. That's really what the Lenten season is about. It's a time where we can reflect and contemplate our spiritual formation and do some repentance and regrouping and realigning and all those type of things. All right. So for this segment of Word Made Flesh in the Gospel of Mark, I'd like to have us discuss chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So can I get someone to read that for us?
Absolutely. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. All right, initial thoughts, comments, questions. What jumps out at you? What are you hearing? How is this different? How is this consistent with what we've studied previously?
I'd say that the religious or leaders they're jealous because I think that they're scared because they know within themselves that who Jesus is, and they're jealous because everyone's going to them, and even they think that everyone will stop going to the temple and that they'll start going to Jesus. So they have all this fear. So therefore, they're gonna do.
So it's kind of like when you get a new church comes to town.
Yeah.
And the pastors of the other church start worrying that maybe their congregation's going to start going to this other church? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Something like that, yep.
Okay, yeah, that's a little humor.
But they have fear.
Okay, yeah, there is. And where do you think that fear comes from? What are they afraid of?
That he is who he says he is. The Son of Man.
Okay, and what would that mean? Why would they be afraid of that?
They're going to lose their authority that they feel they have under the law, the Mosaic law.
And Jesus.
Also money. They're losing money. They're not going to get their 10%.
I know. And if people start leaving my church, you know, they're going to give their tithe somewhere else. I'm
going to. Plus, Jesus is saying, "Here, this is for free." Mm-hmm. They don't like it either. "Hey, I'm giving you this. You can't earn this. You know, there's nothing you can do.
Right.
You don't have to pay me nothing. You don't have to buy a certain sacrifice and come to me. Here it is. Accepting all your own, including everybody, free of charge."
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, you know, to play along on the whole church situation, sometimes we need new churches that actually creates some sort of revival and restoration of the right way. I think we kind of see the parallel there with Jesus. There is this threat taking place, and the threat is towards the establishment, and the establishment there is really about the temple. Even though they're in Capernaum, which is a long way from the temple, we're talking over 100 miles from the temple, but everybody, the scribe, you know, is probably more than likely who this religious leader is, you know, kind of the local lawyer in the town, a religious lawyer that says, wait, we know our tradition. It says only God can do this. So I don't know who you think you are, but in a sense, God dwells down there in that temple in Jerusalem. So that's where, when we talk about the temple, we're talking about that whole establishment, that whole institution. Because if you can do that, we don't need the temple. And last I knew, I kind of get my paycheck from the temple. You know, we don't need the temple, I'm out of a job. Now, that, you know, it's kind of a humorous way of putting it in perspective, that that's where the threat comes from. All right. Okay, good. Anybody else? What else jumped out at you?
I think for me it was when Jesus seen how the paralyzed man was being, the roof was opened up, how they took the roof apart to lower this man down. And he said to them, he saw their faith, you know, and he said, your sins, son, your sins are forgiven. And so for me, it's just like making a journey from one place to another to make a transformation. Because I had no faith. I didn't believe that my sins could be forgiven. And to be here and now at the Neighbors of Hope, it's like faith has entered into me now. I can believe in something that's far greater than me. I can believe that Christ has forgiven my sins. I can believe that I can be not transformed, but the reformation into something new. You know, and it's just all about me just saying, okay, I believe in Christ. And that increases my faith every day. And I know that if Jesus was able to heal a man who was paralyzed, then I know that me being an addict, that can be taken out of me, that addiction, you know, that craving. And that just all stems from faith in Christ.
Okay, yeah, you touched on something that I want to expound on. You're nodding your head, go ahead.
Yeah, because I was touching on the whole thing when the four brought the paralyzed man, who in their society was considered unclean, kind of proves in itself that their love alone, even without Jesus' teaching, allowed them to show concern and compassion for someone they deemed unfit. So even without this belief in Christ, they might have had that belief, but they still allowed themselves to be with the unclean. So there was already that love there before they even prove their faith. And I just realized that's crazy to me.
Good. I'm going to come back to that. Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, so I like when he said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins have been forgiven. I felt like no matter what you did or what they did, you know, with faith, hope, and love, you know, he'll forgive you.
Okay, so there's this kind of common thread running between the last three comments here. Let's kind of get this in a perspective. All right, we're coming at the end of chapter 2. I mean, we have this healing. It's like, don't tell anybody. All of a sudden, he shows up at Capernaum. He can't even get in the house. So the word's out. Now, this little house, obviously, well, it's not. It's probably a moderate house. Right? The houses in those days weren't really extravagant, not necessarily in Capernaum. Right? This is a fishing community. We get the idea that the roof itself, you know, is pretty loosely made, if you're going to dig a hole in it, type things. But it's crowded. Now, Jesus is an adult. He's been around the Jewish establishment for quite a while. I'm sure he recognizes the scribe in the audience. All right. We have to appreciate he sees this movement of folks within the neighborhood bringing one of their neighbors to Jesus. It's interesting, Mark highlights their faith. not the paralyzed man's faith, but the neighbor's, right? Which I like what you had to say there, Randy, that somehow or another they realize that there is a hope in this man, that maybe we can get you healed, right? So we're willing to kind of break the traditional norms and bring the unclean to the clean one. Jesus then uses this as a teaching opportunity with the scribe to demonstrate inclusivity. So, gentlemen, if you think about four men bringing a single man to Jesus, how's that working out in your community life here at Neighbors of Hope?
Well, we're all included in the community here inside the house.
Okay, elaborate. Outside, I mean, we
all try to.
Let's back up. I mean, how are we defining community? I mean, we can talk about community in the context of, well, we all live within the geographical location of Adrian, so this is our community.
Well, we've all had. It doesn't matter where we come from. We all got our hang-ups and stuff, and we're all helping each other get through them. Here in this house.
My financial from the community is that we've been accepted through Christ, through this new movement of community, so it's our job to accept the rest of the community before we were accepted. So who are we to still outcast those certain people when ourselves were addicts, were this, were that, and I think we're called to kind of embrace and accept everybody, you know, no matter what, who they are, what race they are, where they're from. Homeless, rich, no matter.
So inclusive, it means like we're all a part of it. There's no separation. We all come together to be a part of something that's greater than ourselves.
Would you say that you're paralyzed?
Yes.
How so? I mean, in this story, we're talking about physical paralysis of this gentleman's legs or arms. It's his limbs.
My spirit was paralyzed.
Okay, expound on that.
Because I was trapped in a, for me, I call it a demonic addiction, because something else has completely taken over my thinking. I didn't have, it was more of a physical, a mental, a spiritual imbalance.
Okay, so Kevin over here is our paralyzed man. All right, we need four of you to take him to the temple. All right, you're starting to see where I'm going with this, right?
It's 100 miles from where he's at, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, do we take him to the established? In other words, let's take him to the hospital. That's where we get our healing. Jesus sees that these four men bring this paralyzed individual to his presence, which is a declaration that they already believe they don't need the temple. They already recognize they don't need the religious establishment. That kind of faith is what Jesus recognizes. That, yeah. All right. So, in that context, then, are you experiencing that here at Neighbors of Hope?
Before I got here, I always felt excluded from the community because I was an addict, in and out of lockup, and I didn't, you know, I was just a mess up in myself. Now I feel part of something, of a community here at Neighbors of Hope, and I don't, and most of all, a part of Jesus, and I feel he's in me, and a work in progress and within myself, you know, and it's an awesome thing.
Okay, so I think if we were going to talk about the paralysis that really lands us here at Neighbors of Hope, for those of us gathered around this morning, we would say that it's not necessarily our limbs, our legs, our arms, but it's our guilt and our shame. All right, gentlemen, I appreciate your insights and your sharing. For being on this edition of Word Made Flesh, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.